You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Besef this brachos, the concept of tefillah, some chidushim and some formulations of Rav Soloveitchik as relates to the concept of tefillah, just to give it a little more understanding and comprehension, and give you a little more geschmack when it comes to the topic of tefillah, what it's all about and why we do what we do today. So listen carefully as I make the presentation tonight. The first major question you have to ask yourself is the mitzvah of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah d'rabbanan? And the fact of the matter is, it's a machlokas rishonim, as we're going to see this evening. The Rambam, as we're soon going to find out, held that the mitzvah davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and it's counted amongst the Tayyar mitzvahs. The Ramban is going to show you very shortly in the Sefer Mitzvahs held that there's no mitzvah, say, in particular to daven to Hashem each and every day, like the Rambam said. But the Ramban's of the opinion, as I'll show you inside, that when you're confronted with an eis tzara, whatever that means, an eis tzara, when you have a crisis you have to deal with, then you have a chiyuv in HaTorah to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not based upon time, it's not based upon day. It's a mitzvah of responding to an eisa tzara that a person has besayich beisav. That's when you have a chiyuv to daven to Hashem. To daven each and every day pro forma for the Ramban is purely midarabbanan. For the Rambam, as we're going to see, to daven each and every day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mitzvah d'oraisa. We're going to see the parakim when we get into
why
it.
Why you have to wait to have et tzara to daven? You daven many good things that you should not have et tzara.
Yeah, you would think so. Well, look, but obviously, yeah. But you'll see the Ramban inside when it comes to this formulation. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. It's a good question. And another question I'll bring up tonight
just
is...
Just because it's a Ramban doesn't mean you shouldn't be out there. You shouldn't daven.
No, it should be the right. If the chiv, the right, the dam, well, it's not only whatever it is.
Instead of playing hakiras, let's get into it. You'll see very soon.
Yeah.
So if you look on the first page of the Ma'amar Kamash I gave out tonight, so the Rambam says there's a mitzvah say l'schalu b'chayam. There's a mitzvah in the Torah each and every day of the week to daven to Hashem. Shenema v'avatas Hashem elokechem. And from this pasuk Chazal derived in Torah Shlapem, if Yishnul Amdu. Shavodahu to Filah, the Voda mentioned in the pasuk referring to davening. Shinema u Avda v'chol v'avachem, Omer Chachamim, Ezu Avoda Shavalev, Zu Tfilah. So from the Makaris of Torah Shalpeh, it appears there's a mitzvah Avoda Salev of davening each and every day, Kaddish Baruch Hu. However, even though that's a mitzvah Semenat Torah, Ein Minyan HaTfilah Semenat Torah, how many times you daven each and every day is not a Torah Halacha. A Mishnah Tefillah Zos Min HaTorah, the actual nusach of the brachot that we have in the davening, the Shemoneh Esrei, is not dictated by the Torah itself explicitly. Veinu Tefillah Zman Kfuh Min HaTorah, according to Torah law, there's no specific time during the day that you have to do this Tefillah D'oraisa.
When was the first time the Jewish nation, anybody prayed besides the Avos and the
concept of prayer goes back to the time of Adam v'Chava. Goes back to the very beginning.
When the Jewish community started engaging in prayer.
What I'm saying to you is the concept of prayer existed as a fact going back to the time of the beginning of Briyat HaOlam.
Adam HaRishon.
Adam v'Chava prayed. And the fact of the matter is, if Bnei Noach prayed to God, Klal Yisrael just when we became Jews, initially, Jews were Bnei Noach until we converted to Judaism. So we're just taking an activity that everybody did, and we just then did it as the mitzvah in HaTorah. The fact of the matter is, there are a lot of mitzvahs of Bnei Noach halacha that were done before the Jews accepted the Torah. The issa of Ritzicha, the issa of Arayos, the concept of blaspheming Hashem's name, issa Eva Menachai. All of these are mitzvahs later on that are incorporated into the Torah, that the Ben Noach was mechuyev to observe, going back to the time of Briyat HaOlam. Now what's interesting to note is Rav Moshe was asked the question, so I'll start that way and get into the Rambam. Rav Moshe was asked a question in Igros Moshe, is there a mitzvah for Ben Noach to daven to Hashem be'es sarah? Which means if a guy has a crisis confronting him, does a guy have a chiv minatara to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Now it's not, there's no mitzvah of the Shednes Noach that even discusses this concept. We know for a fact that one of the nevuos at the end of days is that when the Beis Hamikdash Shlishi will be built, so the pasuk says in Yeshaya, ki beis di beis tefili yikarei l'chol ha'amim. So the expectation is at the end of days, even goyim who still stay as goyim, the Mais HaMashiach, they will come to the Beis Hamikdash to pray to God. So quite obviously, prayer of a goy to God is something that was expected from the beginning of Bria, and something that's going to take place even when it comes to the redemption at the end of days. But it's not one of the mitzvahs of the Ben Noach. The question is why?
But goyim gave
korbanos goyim. Yeah, sure.
That's a separate issue. Yes, a separate issue. But we're talking about freedom karma. We're talking about prayer. That's the question that's being focused upon. They're not mechuyev to bring a carbon. They're allowed to bring a carbon. So over here, Rav Moshe says in his tshuva, in the Igros Moshe, he makes the following statement. He says, when it comes to a goy davening, so he says that even though there's no mitzvah to have a chiv tefillah for goy each and every day, there's no chiv for goy to do this, nevertheless, says Rav Moshe, avol, he says, when a goy has a tzarech miyuchad, has a certain need to daven, for instance, he has a chola, a person who's sick in his family, or he doesn't have any parnasa, etc., etc., but Moshe feels that at that time, since he's in Esat Tzara, he then has a chiyav min HaTorah, believe it or not, to daven. So you'll say to me, but it's not written in the Shemesh B'nai Noach. So how do we understand this? So Moshe is lo kashim amash lo hechshav zeh l'mitzvah miyuchedes, b'chiyav min HaNoach. Don't ask me a question and say to me, but if it's a mitzvah for a guy to pay Esat Tzara, why is it not enumerated in the Sheva Mitzvahs? So he says the reason is because when it comes to prayer, what does prayer demonstrate? The Ika Amun you have when it comes to God is Rakshahu Anos and Panasa, is the belief that God is the source of a person's Panasa. He is the Rofei Cholam. He helps a person get healed from their sickness, helping doctors. And if that's the case, if a person does not believe in God being involved, Ve'inam is Pa'alov and doesn't pray to God when he needs his help, Harehu Ke'enam Maimin Boats, if he doesn't believe that God exists. And therefore, Umamim B'Dvar Macherim. He says that when it comes to the concept of Amun B'Hashem Yisbarach, belief that God exists, Av Shalohus Kezeh B'Minyan HaZayim. So he says to me, isn't it interesting, when the Zayimus B'nei Noach, there's no mitzvah mufereshes to believe in God. Now, for us as Jews, Anoch Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah miyuchedes of the Tayyag Matzah to believe in our Muna and be talking in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we have a mitzvah. In the Shevet Zayin Noach, there's no such mention. So says Rav Moshe, a very interesting hara. He says, belief in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though it's not mentioned in the Shevet Mitzvahs, Vada, there's no question in my mind, Moshe says, that a guy has to believe in God, Sharei even Kima Zayin, even when it comes to the observance of the Zayin Mitzvahs, for Rambam already says, in order for the Zayin Mitzvahs to count as mitzvahs for a guy, the guy has to do them not because he thought they're a good idea himself, or he thought of them himself, because he has to believe that God commanded them to do these Zayin Mitzvahs.
Right.
So belief in God is a given. You have to believe in God.
If you accept the Zayin Mitzvahs, you know where it's coming from.
You're going to be a mitzvah, you got to be a maimon, there's a mitzvah. So he says, the fact they have mitzvahs means that there is a mitzvah. But don't be so astounded by that, because guess what? There is the sheet of the Baal Halachas Gedolos and others who claimed that even for a Jew, that the mitzvah of Amun B'Hashem is not a mitzvah, but it's a given, which means if we believe we're mitzvah in Tayyag Mitzvahs, that means we believe there's a God who is mitzvah them.
Right.
So even the Bahag for Jews never counted Amun HaLakis amongst the Tayyag Mitzvahs. The Rambam did, most Poskim did, but some did not. So the same Sfar that's used by the Bahag, basically Rav Moshe is when it comes to a guy, Shre'af Kiyim Kozai Mitzvahs, if he didn't do it because Hashem was mitzvah him, he doesn't get the Schar in Olam Haba. And the Rambam says, Beferish in Hilchis, and Hilchis Malachim, that the guy, in order to be Chassidim Masa'ilam, has to believe that if he's doing mitzvahs, he's doing it because God commanded him that there is a God to believe in, and a God that you have to listen to, and a God you have to depend upon. And when the guy has a need of panas and refuah, your manifestation of showing you believe in God as the guy is crying out to God and calling out to God based on tzara to help you in your tzara. It just so happens, ironically speaking, that the way Rav Moshe defines the chiv of tefillah is very similar, going back to your question, the way the Ramban defined the mitzvah tefillah for Claudius or the Nachmanides in his Sefer HaMitzvahs. Let me just show you something before we go back to the Ramban. In the Maamar Kamos I have for you, I want you to turn, Rabbi Yisai, to the following page. Turn to page, the last page in the Maamar Kamos. If you turn to the last page in the Maamar Kamos, what you find over here on the left-hand side of the page, you see where it says B over here, B and C on these columns?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So I have over here the Ramban from his Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says, Chazal Ori Mavaret, many places in Sugyas and Masechus Brachos, they refer to tefillah as a derabanan. Okay? He then points out, Elavadai, the next underlying lines, Ko'in tefillah ain't a chayva klal, avahu, he says, mi midas chesed habariz barach alav, sheshamev olin b'chol karein alav, but it's the chesed in our Kaddish Baruch Hu that when we need his help, we call to him and he answers us. Okay, now, he then says over here, and this is the crucial part, we see Davar Acher, you see my fingers pointing over here? The Davar Acher, it says, see? So says the Ramban, this is the famous Ramban, he says, we do have a chiv to daven to God when we have tzaros. He says, therefore, even for a Jew, in the Ramban's mind, tefillah deraisa is a response to an eis hatzara. What Rav Moshe basically created was, even though it's not so explicit, is that for a guy as well, a guy to show his emunah that he believes in God, if he's in a state of an eis hatzara, he also has a chiv to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not a daily chiv each and every day. And what's interesting is, in that respect, the Moshe compare on a certain level the concept of tefillah for a guy as being very similar to the concept of tefillah for a Jew, that the time that the mischayv on a derais level to pray is the Jew or the guy are in an esetah. That's the Nachmanidean approach. Very interesting. Otherwise, tefillah is only derabanan. So the Shemon Esrei we do each and every day for the Ramban are purely midderabanan. Only when we have an Eis HaTzara is the tefillah raised to the level of a deraisa. That's the Nachman.
We always do.
Now, but I haven't finished yet. You'll see what the Rav does with this. Now, if we go back now to the Rambam, I want to show you something interesting. So even though the Rambam says there's a chiv to daven each and every day to Hashem on a deraisa level, and he quotes the pasuk, how many times you daven during the day is surely not on a deraisa chiv. The actual nusach of the Shemon Esrei was not derived in the Torah. It was derived by the Rabbanim in the Asher Knesset the Gedola. And what time of the time you daven during the day is also an Amid Deraisa. That's why he says in Halacha Beis, Lafikach Noshim Va'avadim, women and Avadim, who are chayiv in Mitzvah Aseh Shavah HaZaban Grama, they're chayiv the Tefillah, because technically on the Deraisa level, Tefillah is a Mitzvah Aseh Shavah HaZaban Grama. So if that's the case, the Rambam is categorizing tefillah as the mitzvah say shaloh hazman grama when it comes to the time of the day that you're supposed to daven not being defined, and if that's the case, he calls it shaloh hazman grama. Even though he says it's a mitzvah to daven each and every day, but since at the end of the day there's no time or place, If you say this is the exclusive tantra on the dryas level, he categorizes mitzvah shalazman grama. So then he says, this is interesting. What is the chi of mitzvah and atara? She adam mischan mispalo b'chol yom. A person should petition Hashem each day. Magid shifu shakadosh baruch hu. He should start off talking about the praises of Hashem. Achakach shel tzarachav. Afterwards, he should ask Hashem what he needs. Should tzarach lehem a bekash of tchina in a petitional prayer. The achakach knows saying sheva hidah. He then gives sheva hidah Hashem. Ala tova sheshpilo kol echlefi kalchav. Now, if you look very carefully, Rabbi Yisai, in Ashmon Esrei, Ashmon Esrei is divided into these three parts. Right. The first three brachas in Shmon Esrei are Shevech to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Meshabech Hashem. The middle 13 brachas are the Bakashas and the Tchinos of our needs. And the last three brachas are Hadayah. So when the Rabbanim formulated the Nusach that we have today, they took the themes of Tefillah, which are Deraisa, and just develop the nusach to fill in those themes when it comes to the various brachot. So the themes of tefillah are deraisa, but the nusach of the Shemon Esrei is a derabbanan creation. And when we daven each and every day, the times of the day is a rabbinic creation. But tefillah, he says, was interesting. You might have thought, api pashtus, if I vechiv to daven each and every day, how can you say it's a mitzvah say shalazman grama? It is this mantra, every day v'chiv to pray. So if you asked us, without seeing the Rambam, I would have classified this. If you have the daven each and every day, it's a chiv deraisa. So if you have a chiv the same kriyishma every day, it's a chiv deraisa. But the Rambam doesn't do that. The Rambam says, since there isn't a time during the day on a deraisa level that you have to pray, you can daven as much as you want, as little as you want, any time of the day. The Rambam also categorized that as a mitzvah say shalah hazman grama. It's quite fascinating. By Krishma he can do that. Because by Krishma, if we went to Gemara Brachos, it says b'shach l'kumecha. So it means there is a time of the day where I can say Krishma in time, and I cannot be yitzhak Krishma. So since it's not only you say it every day, but it's mugval in a certain time frame, that makes it into a zman grama. That's why Noshma technically took up from Krishma. But tefillah, which basically speaking doesn't have its zman grama during the day, it's basically considered a low zman grama, and therefore noshim achayavos. Now, he then points out, if you look in halach above, im ha'yirah gomar b'china b'bakasha, if you are good in your Hebrew, so you marber and ham b'chinas b'kashas, im ha'yosef ha'sayim, if you don't have such good fluency in language, medabek v'yichot v'cha'esh yirtza. And likewise, the minyan tefillahs, everybody will daven as much as they want on a deraisa level. Yesh mispalam pamachas b'yom, yesh mispalam pamayim, pamaharbe, hakoyu mispalam nechamigas. One thing is for sure, whenever you daven, you should daven towards the base of Migdash, the chamachim shiyah. The Gemara and Brachas had that from the pasuk Tapios. Tael shekol apios panim sham. We're all going to the same mountain, we're all facing the same direction. Hakol yu mispal nechach hamikdash, dekein ha'yadav ha'tomid Moshe Rabbeinu ad Ezra. This is the way Rabbi Yisrael was from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klai Yisrael accepting the Torah up until the time of after Churban Bayis Rishon, entering into the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when who basically brought the Jews back from Babylonia to back to Israel. In Ezra's time, the situation of Tefillah changed radically. Why? Because we'll see very shortly, if you turn the page, Rabbi Yisai, that it was in the Tekufa of Ezra that in actuality he and the Sanhedrin at that time, which are called the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, they are the ones who basically set up the actual Nusach of the Shemon Esrei we have it today. They were massacred in the Nusach of the Tfilos we use today. And the Rambam says on page number 2, he says, if you look at the second line, underlined line at page 2, Kaven Shira Ezra Bezdino, that Klai Yisrael didn't know how to daven properly at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, under B'tiklahem Shemon Esrei Brachos, they're the ones who brought the 18 Brachos of Shemon Esrei into existence. Shlosh Rishonos are Shevet LaHashem, Shlosh Achronos are the Hoidoya, and the Emsios in the middle Brachos, Yesh Behem Shelos Kol HaDvarim Shehen Kama Avos. They are the requests we have from Hashem for all the things we need in this world. L'chol Chefsa Yish, Fish. for the tzachei tzibur, or for the needs of the tzibur kulan. Kidei sharuchas b'fi akol v'yilmudosam v'idea tfilas eilu alogem tfilas shlemi tfilas bali haloshan. Everybody should have a capacity to be fluent in davening. U'minei inyan zeh tiknu kol ha-brachas v'atfilas v'sudaras. Also, Anshikon Ezlov and Masakit, all the brachas we recite today, all the tefillahs we recite today, even the Sai Shemana Esrei, all of that was Masukim by the Anshikon Ezra Gadola, Befi Kol Yisrael, Kedeshua Inyan Bracha, Arach Befi Ha'elek. I want you to know just very simply, Rabbi Yisai, that it's not just a question that they penned a Nusach. But the Mishnah Berurah says, I want you to know something. When they penned a Nusach of tefillah, Shemana Esrei, or any tefillah they penned a bracha, it was done at that time through Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, because right. The last Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, I want you to know something. When you're davening the Shemana Esrei and you're saying the words that they basically penned, realize that the words mean something on a very simple literal level, but since it was done by Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, there are deeper meanings in the words that are part of the Shemana Esrei. Some of them we know, some of them are so deep and Kabbalistic in nature, you might not realize the depth perception of all the words of Shemana Esrei. But one thing is for sure, says the Mishnah Berurah, even though the Gemara does paskin, we learned in the Gemara that tefillah is nemeres b'chol Hashem, that you can daven Shemana Esrei in any language you so desire, that's one of the kulos. But he says the power of Shemana Esrei to affect in Shemayim, the tikkunim in the upper worlds, which Shemana Esrei is able to accomplish, even things we don't understand, that's only if you daven b'lashon HaKodesh, not if you daven with the translations and other types of languages. So he says there's a certain irony. There's a marla davening in other languages, because if you don't know Hebrew, you understand what you're davening. But the chesaron is that even though you might be able to tefillah, the tikkunim that the nusach of the Shemana Esrei is able to accomplish in the alamos alyonos, when it comes to Kabbalistic powers of the universe, that can only be done if you daven using the Hebrew text. So he therefore suggests that to get beda milos, if you're not talking Hebrew, save the Hebrew text to be able to the Kabbalistic part, but look at a translation on the side, so at least you know what you're saying, so you have the best of the both worlds. That's why what Art Scroll did, you know, when it has the Hebrew and you have the English, you basically, they were trying to give you the best of both worlds. But at the end of the day, realize... What?
That pre-existed
Art Scroll. Yeah, pre-existed Art Scroll. Yeah, you can imagine, they pre-existed Art Scroll. But the fact of the matter is, you have both my list according to that. Let's go back to this.
Pshitus Ramban.
Yeah.
Women chayuvim.
I'm going to get to that. The answer is according to everybody, women are chayuvim tefillah. But the question is, what are they chayuvim? And I'm going to get to that very shortly. Now, here's an excellent question, and I'm going to give you an answer, an excellent answer. Now, what I want to show you is basically the following. I want to get to one little level, and I'm going to get back to his excellent question. The big interesting sugya in Masechtas Brachos deals with two possible makaros of how the davenings we do today came into existence. One nusach of the Gemara is tefilos avos tiknu, that the tefilos were masukim by Avraham is Yaakov, that Avraham was masakin shachris, Yitzchak was masakin mincha, and Yaakov was masakin marav. That's one shita. The other nusach in the Gemara is tefilos keneged tamidim tiknun, that when Chazal manufactured the Shemana Esrei and everything else, they based it upon hakravas hakarbanos. So therefore, whenever you brought the tamid shel shachar, that became the zman of when you're supposed to daven shachris. Whenever they brought the karbi mincha in the afternoon, which is the karbi mincha really is the tamid shel bein abayim, that became the zman of tefilas mincha. And at night, when you used to bring the leftover kabbalah's part of the entire evening, what was left over from the day, and there was a heck left over by the day, that's the source of davening marav b'layla. So therefore, the hakrevas hakarban is basically speaking the source of the actual tefilos. And according to this, musif corresponds on Yom Tov and Shabbos to the kavan musif brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's how that came into existence. The Yavos did not deal with the Masukos, they were dealing with Shacharis Mincham Ariv for reasons I'm soon going to explain. Now, with all of this information available to you, I want you to know that the Rambam did something quite interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah mentions that the Karbanos, according to the Shita, Karbanos Keneged, the Tefillos Keneged Karbanos Tikna. The Rambam is quoting in Halacha Hey that the Tefillos were Mesukin Keneged the Karbanos. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. People don't know all the Rambam, so they think that's what the Rambam paskin. But what they don't realize, if you look in the ninth chapter of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam mentions Tefillos Avos Tikna. Avram was Misakin Shachris, Yitzhak was Mincha. So if that's the case, the Rambam basically is playing the Mahalach, that both of those specific concepts are in fact correct. True. They do not contradict each other. And what, basically speaking, if that's the case, the Rav who loved to be Mazba the Rambam therefore says, if that's the case, the Rav was Mechadish the following Chiddush. This is one of the first major contributions of the Rav. The Rav asked the obvious question, if Bizman Hazeh, we are all Bekiyim and Davening, because we all daven from a Siddur. When Chazal initially made the Tefillos, they treated it as Torah Shabbat Peh, and never wrote the Tefillos down in a written form, like the same way they didn't write Torah Shabbat Peh in a written form. So if that's why you had them talking about somebody starting to daven for the Tzibor, and he gets forgetful. So if he keeps his mouth shut too long, you get take him off and put somebody else, because they didn't have a prayer book to daven from. Later on, when they wrote down Torah Shabbat Peh, so they actually penned and they created the Siddur. Now, the fact of the matter is, if that's the case, so the Rav said, I want you to know the following. In the initial beginnings of Klal Yisrael, when you have people who were, some who were Bekiyim in the Nusach and some who were not Bekiyim, so the idea of having a Chazaras Hashatz to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei for those people who are ignorant and don't know the Shemoneh Esrei themselves, so having a Chazaras to help the ignorant made sense. Those who are Bekiyim can daven by themselves, and those who are ignorant, they heard the Chazaras Hashatz. So by hearing what the Chazan is saying, Shemir Ka'oneh, the Yotze, by hearing him recite the Shemoneh Esrei, I'm Yotze with his recitation. Like somebody makes a bracha for me, I'm Yotze with your bracha. So the Yotze. But Bizman Hazeh, we're all Bekiyim. We all have Siddurim. What's the Tachlis of Chazaras Hashatz? So the Rav is Mechadish, based upon the Rambam, the following Chiddush, which is one of the first Chiddushim of the Rav tonight. The Rav says, if I have to define what the Avos were Misakin and what later on, what seems the Ashkenaz Gedolim were Misakin, it appears to me that I'm going to give the following Mahalach. Tefillah has two possibilities. It's the source of asking Hashem for our needs and necessities. It's Bakashas HaRachamim. So he says, if that's the case, the Avos, obviously Yaakov, they were concerned in Bakashas HaRachamim for their needs and necessities. When they made their Shemoneh Esrei initially, Shacharis Mincham Ariv, it was Bakashas HaRachamim, asking for the needs and necessities, responding to their tzaras or other things. So these were personal prayers of Bakashas Rachamim. So he says, if that's the case, the Shemoneh Esrei that we daven privately today is basically connected of his tiknum, is Bakashas Rachamim. Each and every one of us on our private level are being mavakish on these necessities. We have the 18, 19 brachas, so what our halach is that when we say the Shemoneh Esrei and we come to a bracha that we have a special need, you're allowed to be Moses in that specific bracha, your personal petition or prayer that's relevant to the theme of that specific bracha. In Shemaya Tefillah, that's considered a klolos dika thing, that you can basically put anything in there as a personal petition or prayer. But actually, a person's personal prayer is about Kashas Rachamim, and that's what the Avos were Misakin. And our private Shema Esrei that we do today, that everybody davens, is about Kashas Rachamim, simulating what the Avos did, but using the Nusach of the Ashkenaz Gedola to accomplish it. Now, he says, when it comes to Chazaras Hashatz, however, so what are we doing over there? He says, the Chazaras Hashatz, he says, that's the tefillah keneged Kabanas Tiknum. It's like Klal Yisrael is bringing a carbon seabor, and therefore, if that's the case, Mr. Chazan, he's going to say the Chazan is like the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyot, being a maker of a carbon. When you basically, you know, some people when they daven for the Omer, they mamish, they sacrifice the Shemar Esrei. They shech the Shemar Esrei. But that's not our chazen. We have a chazen that takes the Shemar Esrei and uplifts it to a higher level. So what our chazen does, and I'll say it upon our chazen in front of him, is the Rebbe used to say, our chazen functions simultaneously as a kohen who's being makriv the karbon and as a levine who sing the shira. Because what happens is, when you're makriv karbon to the tzibur, what did you have? You had levim singing together with the karbon tzibur. So if that's the case, if we say the Shemar Esrei of the Chazara Sashas is connected to midim tiknum, so that's the key of bringing a Shemar Esrei as a karbon tzibur. It's in lieu of the actual karbonot. And if it's brought, if that's the case, the person who is davening as the Shliach Tzibur has to feel as if he's a kohen being makriv the karbon. Number two, he should do it in a melodious tone to therefore give Shiva to Hadat Hashem with the melody, with the singing nigun itself. So if that's the case, it's as if you're serving as the Levi and Kohen simultaneously, like a double role. And if that's the case, the Chazaras Hashas therefore is the key of connected to Midim Tiknum for everybody. It's a tefillah, and he points out that the Rambam, in fact, used a different nusach when it comes to the tzibur for a private davening and for a public davening. When it comes to a private davening, he says 10 people davening together is a tefillah bitzibur. Davening 10 people, yeah, in a tzibur. When it comes to the chazaras hashatz of the, he says that's called a tefillah hatzibur. So the Rav says, what's the difference? He says, when it's a tefillah bitzibur, it's really a tefillah hayachid being done in the context of 10 people. So Chazal said, the Gemara says, when you have 10 people davening, Hashem is not moyes b'tfilasa. So you have the ma'alah there for 10 people davening, and that gives it a power of a tefillah hatzibur, that it's not nimas, but it's still a tefillah bitzibur, because everybody's davening for their own needs and necessities, so that's a tefillah harabim bitzibur as a tefillah hayachid. That's connected to rachmi. When it comes to Mariv, when it comes to the Chazaras Hashatz, but the fact is when it comes to Chazaras Hashatz, he says, in actuality, the concept of bringing this tefillah is basically as if you bring makriv karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and the only ones that were kavua b'davka was Tamish Hashach and Tamish Ben Abayim. Mariv, if you don't have any karbanos to bring at night, you didn't bring any karbanos at night. So therefore, Chazaras Hashatz is only done by those karbanos that are kavuos. He says, if that's the case, that's called tefillas hatzibur, because it's a corporate activity, as if the same way you brought karbanos on behalf of Klal Yisrael is a corporate activity. The Chazaras Hashatz is a corporate activity. You're davening as if you're being makriv a karban for Klal Yisrael. He then said that's why there are various interesting minhagim. Chazal, therefore, on that level, therefore, compare a Beis HaKnesses to a Migdash Miat, because you're being makriv karbanos by Chazaras Hashatz. They compared the bima, the emsa, as if it's a mizbeach. So you're davening at a bima, as if basically you're a kayin, a bimaki of a carbon, but davening at a mizbeach itself. That's why Shira Vizimra is done, because we're basically emulating what, in fact, technically speaking, the Levim did. And that's why certain chazan who daven for the Amid sometimes wear a special beged that they put on when they're serving as chazanim, the same way kohenim used to wear a special type of beged as in the good old days when it came to davening as a shliach hatzibur. To this very day, the son shuls that the chazan puts on certain robust robes, etc. Look at Helfgott. What does Helfgott do when in the parkies? He puts on his big dekaydish. What's interesting to note is in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it talks about this. Some people who are makbid, when they daven each and every day, even in their private tefillos, they used to put on a special beged to daven with, to show covet of that tefillah, as if they were a private kohen being involved in their own davening itself. But surely when it came to Shlichei Tzibur, they talked about it even more when it comes to the bigger picture. So if that's the case, the Rav said, according to the Rambam, we now understand why, even though we're bekeem today, there's a Chazaras Hashatz independent of the private davening, because there's a keem of both. The Rambam quotes both Shitos, and therefore that explains the reason for the repetition. Now, what is interesting and fascinating, Rabbi Yisrael, is the following. And that is, the Rav then goes into a major description of what is the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban when it comes to the mechayev of tefillah. There's no question the Ram held you have to daven each and every day. The Ramban says you only have to daven beis hatzara, which seems to imply when you don't have an eis hatzara, you have no chiyuv to daven on a deraisa level. So the Rav said, is this such a, what he calls a polarized machlokes, as if to say that for the Ramban, the mechayev tefillah is an eis hatzara, and for the Rambam, you just got to daven each and every day, even though there's no eis hatzara. Do you want to make the machlokes so polarized? Or perhaps not. The Rav came to a conclusion, this is a chiddush of his, nobody else says this, but this is what the Rav says. He says he's of the opinion that in actuality, the mechayev of tefillah, whether it's the Ramban or the Rambam, is the concept of eis tzara, like by Bnei Noach. But the Rambam and the Ramban had a machlokes what constitutes an eis tzara. And this is the Rav's chiddush, which I'll share with you tonight. But he says is the following. And this is the Lashon of, I want to say it over his Mama Lashon, because the way he says it is very, very beautiful and very poetic. He points out that there are two types of eis tzaras we are experienced in our life. There's what's called a eis hatzara hanira lenayim, something we're able to visualize. He calls it a surface crisis, that was which means when you're witnessing a war, you're witnessing, basically speaking, a famine, a plague or something like that. So this is a tzaras harabim, that's nikilei naim. He calls that a surface tzara, a tzaras harabim, a nirlei naim. He says that type of esa tzara, the fact is everybody holds, whether you're a guy or a Jew, you have an incumbency on a derais level to pray to Hashem to save you from that esa tzara, as I mentioned, even Rav Moshe mentioned that when it comes to goyim. So the Rambam does not argue with that. Everybody holds b'eis hatzara, and that's what Rambam brings in Hilchos Tainis. When you're b'eis hatzara, to show your response to it, you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the Rambam is mechadesh up and above the shita of the Ramban and everybody else, is there's another type of tzara. And the Rav calls it a tzara hapnimi, a nefesh adam, which means we're dealing now with an existential crisis that's personal, that's private. He calls that a depth tzara, which means something you feel internally that you experience when it comes to the doubts you have, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your personal health, when it comes to your personal wealth, when it comes to what's happening with your children. Nobody knows what's going on in your mind. So the Rav says, when you say the pasuk "Mina Meitzer Kerasi Ka," that's really expressing this experiential feeling of helplessness and hopelessness in a world that we can't control. So the Rav said the Rambam is mechadish, that we call a tzara hapanimi, that's not nikir le'enayim, only you feel it, nobody else sees it. The Rambam was mechadish that even that a tzara is mechayiv tefillah, and since you feel that every day, that's why the Rambam was mechayiv shmon esrei every day, because of the existential tzara hapanimi. So what the Rav basically did was, is he therefore said that the mechayev tefillah according to everybody is an eis tzara. But the question is, what level of eis tzara do you need the mechayev tefillah deraisa? For the Ramban, it has to be a nikilei naim, a public format that's the nikilei naim, a surface crisis. And for a Moshe, he says, even a guy, basically speaking, has a chiyuv beis hatzara to basically pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam's mechadesh that besides the surface crisis, even an internal, emotional, psychological, existential crisis is also mechayev tefillah on a derais level. And since there's no person on the face of this earth that doesn't feel existential strain each and every day, if that's the case, that's why Rambam says yechayev tefillah b'chol yom v'yom, and that's the source of the shitas Rambam. So what he did is he reduced the machlokes that everybody holds is the eis tzara. The question is, what level of eis tzara you need to bring tefillah up to the level of a deraisa? It's an interesting mahalach. Nobody else I ever saw ever upketaish it this way, but this is one of the chiddushim the Rav was mechadish when it came to his ksavim and his shirim on this topic. This was his chiddush, which fits in very beautiful with the bigger picture itself.
So maybe I missed that at the beginning. With the Ramban, so if you have a personal crisis, like whatever, your health, your job, whatever, is that deraisa when you're going through that crisis?
So the fact of the matter is, when it comes to the bottom line, I'll say the following. You know, when you read the Ramban, when you try to be medayik in his lashon, it's quite interesting because the Ramban says, when it comes, so let me just read once again what he says in quotation C. He says, "Shenisfalu elav to esat saros." When we have esat saros, we should daven to Hashem. We should basically show our subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He then mentions as an example, we have Muhammad confronting you, atzat zareschem, etc., etc. He never goes in to a discussion of a private, individual, of a depth level. He talks about examples of surface crisis.
Chana was about
which affected
what?
Chana.
Yeah.
When she didn't have a child, she was childless.
Yeah, yeah.
And she wanted to learn all halachos.
Yeah, yeah. The pashtus is Chana Zariah, that even a tzara hapanimi, like the Rambam, is a mechayev in tefillah. What I want to point out to you is that even though the Ramban himself talks about publicized types of tzaros, but I am pretty convinced when Moshe, when he wrote the question with a very mechayev in tefillah, he gave examples of what halach lamasa is the chiv of a guy. He talks about not only public things that are confronting the guy as a chiv of davening, show their belief in God. He talks about even private things that are bothering them as a neisat zara that's mechayev them in tefillah. So I would assume, and he then quotes the Ramban as the source of applying this to goyim as well. So if by a guy he's not mechalek as you ask between a public and a private, I assume the Ramosha therefore learned that for the Ramban it applied to the public and to the private, but there has to be an actual, real, tangible esat zara, which means a sick person that is visible to somebody else's naked eye, or a person literally is chesel echem, and the person is an impoverished individual, which is also nikilei nayim. So that could, obviously speaking, is still something that's surface related. The Rambam's mechadish, even internal crises of desires, of anxiety, of feel, that nobody talks about, but according to our Salavetchi, he says, that's the chiddush of the Rambam, that which is so internalized, that it's not visible to anybody but you yourself know of that crisis. He was mechadish, that's also an esat zara, which therefore for the Rambam was mechayev you in tefillah, because it's impossible, he says, for a person not to feel during the day, sometime during the day, some existential helplessness because of the craziness of the world in which we live. So the fact of the matter is, but you don't see it necessarily. So for the Rambam, it's going to categories that the Ramban and Rav Moshe never really talked about, but that's what the Rav adds, is the Rambam's opinion, or for the Rambam, it's the Dover Poshet, is the Deraisa B'chol Yom, because of that halacha of the dependency upon the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Does the Ramban agree with him? It's really hard to say because the Ramban never talks about on that level. Seems it still has to be something the Ramban says that's visible, and Rav Moshe says the same gedolim you have for the Ramban applied to the Bnei Noach as well. Now, the next thing I want to mention to you, Rabbi, as we're going through this, is the concept, since the Chazan's here, I want to spend a couple of minutes upon it. So he points out, and this is brought down, interesting enough, when it comes to the Sefer Chassidim and other sources, Ravina Bachaya, that there's a chiv upon a chazin to menagim b'shas tefillah with the most beautiful nigunim you possibly can, very similar to the beautiful neginos of the levim that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. He then points out, what's the purpose of the shir of the zimmer with singing? So the Rav says, quoting these gedolim, it causes, when you sing Shir of a Zimra, it causes you to feel a sense of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And the source of Simcha Shal Mitzvah being caused because of song is the famous narrative in Tanakh and Sefer Malachim about Elisha HaNavi. Chazal say that when Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim in a fiery chariot and left his Talmud Elisha below, bereft of a Rebbe, Elisha went into a state of melancholy. He was very, very depressed. So when people used to come to Elisha to ask him for a nevuah, he was so depressed, the Ruach HaNevuah had literally departed from him. But Elisha realized he couldn't stay in this way forever. Mm-hmm. People needed him. So the Pasuk says, what did Elisha do? This is a Pasuk in Sechem Elohim. He says, Kuchuli menagen, do me a favor. Bring me a shtarke geshmak echazen, Kuchuli menagen. And the Pasuk says, Kashen nagen ha menagen. When the singer started to sing, a simchadik a lebedik a nigen, Vatil of Yah Hashem, he gave Elisha a feeling of simchas alev, and that therefore took away his melancholy. He felt simchas alev, and once again the Ruach HaKodesh of Shechina was basically given back to him. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, the concept of simcha shel mitzvah is accomplished by the stimulation of Shira the Zimra. That's why they point out that the Rambam spent so much time in Hilchos Sukkah describing the pomp and circumstance of the Simchas Beis HaSheva, of how they entertained and who were the entertainers and who were the singers and such. He quotes the Rashami. The Rashami says, why is it called Simcha Beis HaSheva? According to the Babylonian text, because they used to draw water for the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkis. That's why, you know, Shafta Mayim Bevesasa. But the Tami Rashami says different. Why is it Simchas Beis HaSheva? Shemisham Sha'avu Ruach HaKedesh. That when people experienced the simcha, the singing and dancing of that specific phenomenon, many people were raised to such a spiritual plateau, they were zochet to Ruach HaKedesh. Chazal record historically in Yerushalmi, Yoina ben Amita, the famous Navi Yoina, first experienced Nevuah when he attended a very, very strong Simchas Beis HaSheva celebration of Beis HaMikdash that lifted him to such a level, he was zechah for Ruach HaKedesh. A thing that's not known to many people, it's quoted by the Rambam in Perek Zayin Hilchos Yisod Yatara, when he talks about how Nevi'im used to prepare themselves for prophecy. So the Rambam says something that I find peladic. He says, to be a Navi, you have to be ready for Nevuah. And Moshe was the only one who was able to initiate and to guarantee Nevuah whenever he wanted to, Nevuah upon demand. Other Nevi'im were not able to have Nevuah on demand, except when Hashem wanted you to be a Navi, he gave you Nevuah. But how do they emotionally prepare themselves? So it says all the potential Nevi'im who were Nevi'im used to have Jewish music, Simchadiki music playing continuously around wherever they were, so they should always be in a state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So when Hashem wants to give them a Nevuah, they're already mentally, psychologically, emotionally prepared to be the recipients of that Nevuah. So therefore, they used to play Jewish music in the backdrop in order to have that mood swing of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's interesting, you know, we have tapes now, music you play in your car. I guess, you know, one day you'll get a Nevuah in the car, you'll be in the state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So you now have a teretz, why you want to have, basically speaking, music in the backdrop. Why am I telling you this? Because I'll tell you a cute little story, but don't repeat this. My new wife, my Rebbetzin, is teaches art in Tag. And she created the art schools there, many of the other schools in the neighborhood. So she has a minig that when the girls are busy working on art in her class, she has Torah Dika, real Jewish music playing in the backdrop, you know, to give a certain mood swing in the room. So when the painting or drawing, they're in a certain level of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So one day, I don't want to mention which principal came in. The principal came in and she says, what's going on over here? Why is there music playing? So my wife said, because the girls are drawing and I want them to be in the mood. I want them to be a little elevated. And the Rambam says, I taught this. The Rambam says, even the Nevi'im used to have music playing in the backdrop to give them a certain type of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So my girls, I want them to draw. I want to be inspired when they're drawing. I want them to have, you know, so therefore I want them to have the mood swing they need. The poor Rebbetzin who tried to criticize it didn't have what to say because she quoted the Rambam, she quoted me. What is she going to answer anymore? But the fact of the matter is, music continues to this very day because we want the girls to be elevated. And if I show you some of the pictures the girls draw in the high school, you won't believe what she teaches them when it comes to their talents. But the fact is, Chazal point out, Simcha Shel Mitzvah is important. So we have the schutz of having Chazan Freund over here, that when he sings for us, he mamish uplifts the Kehila with his Yigunim. So you are Mamash giving us the capacity, the potential to have Mamash Ruach HaKadosh. You have to realize. So you have to ask for
just
a bonus.
Don't start with Nevuah, please.
Yeah, we have to give him a bonus because he's giving us the capacity to be able to reach the levels of Ruach HaKadosh.
He's giving you a bonus, not us.
Yeah. He's giving us a bonus.
Ein Ashrina Shura, Ela Besimcha.
Ela Besimcha, Shalom Mitzvah.
Do it Hashem Besimcha.
So if that's the case, and the fact that Raman quotes, for those who are not in the state of Simcha, Hashem gives us punishments, Tachshul of Hashem, Simcha B'tov Leivav. If you don't have simcha, you're melancholy, it's an aveira. Hashem says, I'll punish you for not being a state of simcha shal mitzvah. So now you no longer have to feel guilty of having music around you during the day or having music in the car when you're riding, because going to this is putting you in a proper spiritual mood. Now, I never heard any Bati Midrashos yet having music in Lakewood or Echais in Chaim Berlin or even the YU based Midrash. Nobody has music playing in the background. But it could be a good idea, according to this, because it'll put them in a state of simcha shal mitzvah. Who knows what levels of spirituality they'll be able to obtain? The Nevi'im used to do it, so maybe who knows? We'll see what happens in the future.
That applied to classical music.
What?
That applied to classical music.
That's a good question.
That's depressing. That's depressing.
I listen to WQXR all the time.
I'll tell you why it's a good question.
Every yeshiva will have a Rosh Yeshiva and a DJ.
The reason it's a good question is because Avadi Yosef was asked a very interesting question. Under normal circumstances, we're not supposed to mimic and imitate the Goyim and follow their ways and apply it even to our religion because the Yisav Chukas Akum. So he was asked the question, are we allowed to take Goyish scores of music that have beautiful Nigunim and reapply it to our davening and use it as liturgy for our davening to our Kaddish Baruch
Hu. People do that.
So says Avadi Yosef, he says in his Yechav Adas, he says, I want you to know something. I can't talk about in the Ashkenazic world, but in the Sephardic world, a good majority of the Nigunim we sing in our davening were taken from the Arabs and the Goyim. Mm-hmm. We just deleted the words that they used, which some of them were not the nicest words, because some of them were love songs, and just took out the nusach and applied the nigunim to our liturgy and whatever to use this. So he says the music itself is by definition himmeldik. I don't care who composed the notes. He says as long as the music was never used for avodah zarah purposes, which means, coming back to you, classical music that was used in the church service, even if you take out the words, that's a chukas akum problem, and we can't use that in our tefillahs. But if music that was never used in the church service, but it could be classical music that's very, very heavenly, if you want to reapply that to a Jewish nusach, the Bekavidika thing, according to Avadia Yosef, you basically could. He says only when they already used it for church, and if you hold like the Rambam, the churches of we discussed this one, Catholicism is of Avodah Zarah. So whatever was already used in an idolatrous service can't be recycled even without the words in Torah because of Chukzaka. But what was ever not used in a church service is free and clear. Since we consider the concept of Islam as being a monotheistic religion, and it was never as there, as I pointed out when we went to topic, so by then they don't have the problem of using Arab music because of the problem of Avodah Zarah. Only music used in the world of the Catholics and the Europeans might be a problem. So you have to be a bookie in classical music to know which one was used by the church, which was only used by the church in order to be able to apply it. But this is brought down by Avodah Yosef, Halach Lamasa, in his famous tshuva. We'll end this tonight, Rabbi, so to be continued.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.